Well, it's good to see all of you this morning. Appreciate the presence of our visitors. Thank you for being with us. We've been studying together for some time now about the importance of understanding who Jesus is as the Son of God, the authority that He has as the Son of God. We've been talking about His church, the necessity of being in His church. We've been talking about how important the Scriptures are, how the apostles were delivered that message, how important their words are. And following the Scriptures, and it's become very evident that the spiritual matters of life are the most important things of life as we consider these lessons. The things that are spiritual are far more important than the material things of life. Worshiping God in spirit and in truth is not what I like. It's not what pleases me. It's about what pleases God. Acceptable worship is a matter of worshiping God in offering truthful worship. So the only way that we know, as we've been talking about, to know what that is to open up His Word and to study the Scriptures. And so we've looked and talked about how important the New Testament Scriptures are. There's the Old Testament, now there's the New Testament. So we have to find our examples in the truth that's found in the New Testament. It's the one that governs us as the New Testament church, as Christ's church. And so we have to have the right spirit, not only the right things to do, but as we have done the acts of worship and we have engaged in singing and prayer and we've now remembered the Lord around the table and we have given of our means and those things being found in the Scriptures, it is to be done with the right spirit, with the right attitude, with the right heart. And so I can offer worship from my lips and it be really not accepted by God because the heart's not engaged. Or maybe I give not of grudgingly, or I give grudgingly or of necessity, and I'm not a cheerful giver. All those things come into play as to whether or not is it acceptable worship. And so when we study the New Testament Scriptures today, it should be clear that what Jesus taught about worship and what His apostles taught about His church was not a social gospel. It was not something that we see today is just so overwhelmingly accepted today under the idea of Christianity as being followers of Christ. It is saturated Christianity in a whole, if you look at it at that way. But as you and I understand, it's much more narrower than what the world sees. That is all these things that we've been talking about. Christ's church, He's only going to save His church. He's only built one. He's going to save His body. He's the head of one. He is the sole and supreme authority of His church. And so we see that, but people are so engaged in the social gospel. And so it is no surprise that even churches of Christ have fallen prey to this idea of the social gospel. When we define the word social gospel, if you were to look it up online or you were to study about this, it's a movement among Christians. It started in the late 19th century and early 20th century, so ending of the 1800s into the 1900s. And the focus became the welfare of the people, often over the need of the gospel. And I want you to understand that's why I had Romans chapter 1, 16 and 17 read. It is the power of the gospel that saves. It's not going to be the social activities. But as you can imagine, man, you know, looks out into the world, and as they look out into the world, they see all the social injustices. They see people in welfare and things of that nature. In fact, in our country, some of those things were beginning to develop, and so it was on the minds of a lot of people. But what happens is when you start to focus on that, you shift away from the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And so in the country, as labor movements began to take shape and unions and those types of things and other forces that were organizing against social injustices, whether it be politically and those types of things, it wouldn't take long as you would expect for the church or churches, I should say, to become involved in social activities to correct social problems of the day. And so as you think with me about that, you consider the shift that took place from following the scriptures where you start saying, well, any and all social problems are to, from our perspective, when I say are, from the Lord's people's perspective, from the biblical perspective, you would follow the scriptures. And the way you would solve social ills is you would convert that person to Christ, right? Because if you can change and convert a person to Christ, what's going to happen? Well, they'll start to conform themselves into the image of Christ. And what that means is a converted person will then become the type of husband they're to be. They will learn to do that. They'll learn how to be the type of wife they are to be. They will learn how to be, whether they're an employer or an employee. See, they'll let the scriptures. And so this change of heart is how you change social problems. If you convert somebody that was a thief, then what are they going to do when they become a Christian? Well, they're going to stop being a thief, right? Or if they're a drunkard, they're going to start putting away their drunkenness. They're going to move away from these things. And so that's, you know, that's what conversion does. That's what the gospel does. And yet what we see is that in society, people began to say, well, now, wait a minute, we've got to be engaged in all of these social problems, these social injustices. And so you move away from the Bible teaching. And so in Romans chapter 8, verse 29, the Bible talks about conforming to the image of Christ. And that's the way you get people that are in a welfare system out of that welfare system, is by a conversion of the heart. Now, that may take treatments, and that may take a lot of other resources, but that's the key, is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, the social gospel uses the denomination or a congregation in correcting the problems of society. I hope everybody's with me in what I'm trying to say. As things began to move towards a concern of social problems, then what happens is the church starts being concerned about social problems. And when I say church, I should say churches. I'm not talking about the Lord's church, because what I'm wanting us to understand is if you look around us, this is saturated all around us, even in this area, all over the country, even all over the world, there's been a shift to this idea of a social gospel, where the congregations, and it's very interesting, because where we're at as a country is you've got the government that is involved in all those things, and you've got those that are in denominations saying, well, the government shouldn't be involved, it should be given over to the churches. In fact, when I was in Richmond, people would call the building, and they would say, I need help with my electrical bill. And I would say, well, the church can't help you with your electrical bill. Would you call maybe the electric company, because they've got, you know, because I would get it in my electric bill. Would you like to help the people that aren't going to have heat during the winter, right? You've probably seen that.